This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, it is cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. The law of God with the veil lifted, or the law of Moses with the veil lifted, or the reading of the Old Covenant with the veil lifted or set aside. Now, why is it that human beings are so mixed up? Look at what's happening now in the United States. Whether to have the Ten Commandments on display is going to the Supreme Court. And right in the Supreme Court itself, there is a carving of Moses with the Ten Commandments in his arms. They also have something of Mohammed there, too. And there are people who don't want the Ten Commandments. Then there are people who say they want the Ten Commandments, but then they don't believe them. All you have to do is look at any Christian group that calls itself Christian, that worships on Sunday, and you will know that they don't believe the Fourth Commandment. And you look at any Christian church that has idols and statues and so forth, like the Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox, and it's obvious that they don't believe in the Fourth Commandment nor the Second Commandment. Yet they want God. Yet they want to have a religion. Yet they want to be good. Now, why are human beings this way? Let's come to Romans 8. Let's see. One verse tells it all. Romans 8 and verse 7. One verse tells it all. Actually, two. Okay. Now, let's go back to verse 5. We'll go 5, 6, and 7. Okay. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now that means those who are without the Spirit of God. Just a normal human being in the world, they mind all the things of the flesh. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? How much money do I make? And you know how it is. People that make large salaries, you know, they spend it all and never have enough. It's like the book of Ecclesiastes says, the eye is not filled with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing, or the making or building of things, there is no end. Striving after physical things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we'll cover that a little later when we do the law of Moses in the New Testament, amplified by Christ, which we'll follow up with this one here. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, no hope of eternal life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Physical life now, spiritual life at the resurrection when Jesus returns, and also peace, because if you really understand God's way, in spite of all the difficulties around everywhere and in personal lives, you can still have peace with God. Now here's the key, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, that's the ordinary mind that people have, they're born with, and unless they are truly converted, see, now, you cannot claim that you're converted if you say you've had a born-again experience and you believe in Christ, but you hate the laws of God. Or you say, we don't have to keep the laws or commandments of God. You are carnal-minded. All those who claim that have had an emotional experience, not a spiritual experience. Entirely different. One of the common expressions in counterfeit Christianity is, it doesn't matter what you do. It matters on your relationship with God. And it all depends on God. Nothing depends on you. So really, it doesn't matter what you do. Now, that is lawlessness under the guise of being religious. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, if you're converted, how do you look at the laws of God? What did David say, Psalm 119? I love your law, I love your commandments, I love your way. I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be true and right altogether. That's a converted mind. Carnal mind is, well, I know the seventh day is the Sabbath, but I go to church on Sunday and God knows my heart. I've had people tell me that. Well, God does know your heart. What is your heart? Carnal mind. Now, what's happening when people do that? They tell God what to do. Now, we'll see a little bit later about how God reacts to people not believing him and telling him they won't do what he says. Now, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh can not please God. Now, Lynn, let's take this thing concerning Sabbath versus Sunday one step further. Those who believe in a lawless grace say you don't have to keep the Sabbath, you don't have to keep anything, but what do? They go to church on Sunday. And they have other holidays, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, etc. Okay? So what happens? They end up making their own righteousness in place of God's. That's exactly what they're doing. Now, since God only is righteous and God only is holy, no man can set his own commandments above God and come and worship God according to his own standard or his own heart. That is the ultimate of lawlessness. Now, let's come to Psalm 50. And then we'll get back to the law of Moses again. But here in Psalm 50 is exactly a perfect description of this kind of thing. Now, Psalm 50, let's pick it up here in verse 16. But unto the wicked God says, now this is a message from God to all of those who believe in a Protestant lawless grace or a Catholic substitute law grace. But unto the wicked God says, what have you to do to declare my statutes? Or that you should take my covenant in your mouth? And isn't that what they say? New covenant, new covenant, new covenant. And they don't have a clue as to what the new covenant really is. And they do not keep the Passover of the new covenant. We'll get into that in holidays versus holy days. But God says, why should you take my covenant in your mouth? Even say the words. And the most lawless, satanic thing to say is Christ, who's the Lord God of the Old Testament before he was manifested in the flesh, came to abolish the law. That is truly your mind closed with a cast iron veil, not just a veil, a cast iron plank of steel across your mind. Now notice, verse 17, seeing you hated instruction and cast my words behind you. Isn't that what they do? Oh, we don't need this. Oh, we don't need that. Oh, we don't need the Old Testament. Oh, we don't need that. Cast my words behind you. Very similar to what Isaiah says in Isaiah, the 5th chapter. Well, let's go there. Let's see how people do. Let's see how they live. They hate crime, but they kick out the 10 commandments, which would stop crime if it were taught. And what do we see on television news all the time? As a matter of fact, there are several court, semi-court type of reporting that all they do is report on murders. The latest one is the BTK, Vine Torture Kill. After 25 years, they think they finally have the man. Well, how about having a society where you teach people God's way and you don't have hardly any of that? Yes, they cast the words of God aside and say, oh, we need more police to stop the thieves and the robbers. We need more police to stop murders. No, you don't. You need more teaching in your public schools. You need more teaching in your homes so the children will grow up to have a conscience, to not lie, to not steal. Now, being in the flesh, they'll never be perfect, but they're not going to go crossing over the line into major crime. Now, here's exactly what is happening. Now, this will cross paths with by whose authority, but that's okay. Verse 20. Woe to them that call evil good. What happens? What is he saying here? Your society is going to turn upside down. That's what he's saying. And good evil. Oh, we cannot have the Ten Commandments on display on any public land. That is endorsement of religion. No, God gave the Word of God to all people. It's not endorsing any religion. It's the words of God and how we need to live. Carnally in the world, physically in the world, that put darkness for light, and that means you substitute your own words, your own teachings for the teachings of God, because the commandments are a lamp to your feet. Christ is the light of the world. So what is happening? They have a false Christ. They have a false Messiah. A long-haired, wimpy-finky thing that is nothing like Christ really was. And light for darkness. They condemn it. Oh, you mean you really believe the Bible? You gotta be kidding. Who does that anymore? And put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We can get along without God. Like I read about the professor. We'd get along without God. We don't need God. Wise in their own eyes. God said when they did that, they became fools. Profess themselves to be the wise one. Oh, we know better. See. Look at this great and vast creation and say, it's an accident. We came from apes. Well, how did you get from an accident to ape? That's a giant leap, isn't it? and you start analyzing everything that they say and do, it's truly, as the psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to drink strong drink. That's not only just alcohol, but we can tie in today drugs. Oh, and don't think that they didn't have drugs back then. Don't think that they didn't know. You know, poppies are the easiest things in the world to grow, and where do they grow more prolifically than any place else in the world? In the Middle East. Don't you think that they knew how to harvest opium out of poppies back then? Mix it in with the wine? That's what he's talking about here. Which justify the wicked for reward. Yep, if you have enough money, you can get off any capital crime. Witness the likes of people like O.J. Simpson. And take away the righteous of the righteousness from him. Yeah, little kids can't even go to school. And they had a so-called Christian rock band here recently that was going to perform at a school, and they canceled it, even though they said they wouldn't do any altar calls and they wouldn't sing any songs that had to do with Jesus. And who do these politically correct educators think they are anyway? Just like it is here. Okay? And say to those who keep the Sabbath and the holy days, you have no right to do that. Yes, we do. And we will. Verse 24. Therefore, see, because the day of judgment is coming, and it is going to come at a time that is not expected. And it's going to come in a way that it's not expected. And that judgment is going to be personal upon everyone individually who does so, going to be collectively upon the societies that foster and create this kind of society and environment, and it will come upon them continually. Now think about, just in America, all the problems and difficulties that we have. Crime, finances, education, political process. Lying, cheating, stealing, gambling, drug addiction, homosexuality, whoredoms, pornography. Those are the penalties. It's coming upon them. And in some people, it devours them just like a fire. And the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. That means they're going to be cut off in the midst of their life. Because, see, there is a cause and a reaction. The cause is you reject God, you reject His commandments, you reject His laws, you reject what God says, and don't even consider it worthy of your thinking of it. Because, see, you're reaping the cause already. They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And let me tell you something. Has he been cast out of government? Yes. Has he been cast out of the schools? Yes. Has he been cast out of the society and the lives of millions and millions and millions and millions of people, billions of people? Yes. And despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, if God were not long-suffering and merciful and kind, they would have received judgment a whole lot quicker. But you know, it is going to come. God says so. Now, let's come back here. Let's come back here to the book of Leviticus, where we left off last time. Leviticus 19. Now, as we are going to see, all of these laws that God gave were for their good. God backed it up, as we have seen here in Leviticus 19, by ending every section, I am the Lord your God. So I put the question to you. Are you going to argue against God? Now, if you think you're so almighty and you're so smart, you just reach down at your belt line and just put your finger in your belly button. What does that tell you? That tells you're an absolutely dependent person. You were born of your mother, engendered by your father, and your mother had to bring you to birth. And God has sustained you by giving you every breath automatically from that day until the day you take your last. So you need to think about it. So when you start throwing away the laws of God, you're arguing with God, because God has given all of these things. I am the Lord your God. Now let's review the first couple of verses here, and then we'll pick it up a little later in Leviticus 19. These are all right and good and fine laws. All these laws are good and righteous and perfect and holy. And as we have seen, in keeping them, there's a blessing physically. Now, we'll talk about keeping them when you are converted and have the Spirit of God, and the whole different aspect of then how we approach God and our relationship with God. See, because there's one thing here that is true. These laws, unless believed and followed, are going to cause havoc in anyone's physical life. God expects even unconverted people to acknowledge Him. To have enough fear of God that they will honor father and mother, they will not murder, they will not commit adultery, they will not steal, they will not lie, and they will not covet after their neighbor's goods. God expects out of every human being. And to acknowledge that He exists. So God says here to the children of Israel, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, come to 1 Peter, the first chapter, for just a minute, and let's see that this is also New Testament doctrine. And we'll come back to this a little later when we get into the spiritual aspect of keeping the laws of God. Now let's begin in verse 13. This talks about because of the calling of God and having the Spirit of God. Verse 13, he says, for this reason, be prepared in your minds, be self-controlled, be fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not rebellious brats who have the gall to talk back to God. You know, think about this for a minute. Have you ever been in a supermarket and there's been some spoiled brat just absolutely causing a tantrum, shouting back at father or mother, and they don't know what to do, and everyone in the store is looking at them? How does it make you feel? Well, some people get angry because the parents allow the children to do that. Other people are embarrassed, and it's a bad scene, isn't it? Well, whenever you tell God that you're not going to do this law or that law or the other law, or you don't believe that the laws apply to you, you know what you are? You're a little kid in the supermarket with a tantrum, screaming and kicking on the floor and shouting and cursing at your father and your mother. It's exactly what you are spiritually. Maybe some people haven't looked at it that way, you see. But God wants us the opposite. As obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lust as you did in your ignorance, but according as he who has called you is holy. Now, God called the children of Israel, a physical nation, for a physical project for his plan in the world. When Christ came, God the Father and Jesus Christ have called those who are his for a special calling to eternal life. Now, we'll get into that a little later, but we need to draw the distinction here because we have the parallel. You have the physical first under the covenant with Israel, and then you have the spiritual next, which is under the covenant with Jesus Christ. But as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. Now, that's a very broad, sweeping thing, isn't it, huh? Yes. Verse 16. Right here, this verse we just read, which is repeated many times in the Old Covenant there. For it is written, you be holy because I am holy. Now, if you're going to say, we don't need the Old Testament, then what you're going to have to do is get a pen knife, and you're going to have to cut out one-third of the New Testament. Because one-third of the New Testament are quotes from the Old. To verify and show that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's go back here to Leviticus 19. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his father, every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. That's what God says. Isn't it interesting? How many people tell God they're not going to do it and yet expect God to bless them? You cannot expect God to bless you any more than a child throwing a temper tantrum in the middle of a supermarket is going to have the good favor of father and mother and the good favor of all of those around. Just to give you a little example. I go into the local supermarket, and I get a cup of coffee every once in a while. And I got my cup, and I was going to go over and pay for it. Now, here was this about two-year-old boy that was standing on the cart. Now, we had our son, Stephen, fall out of a cart when he was about two. And that's a very dangerous thing. He hit his head real hard. It was a very dangerous thing. And she could not get him to sit down and put his legs through the little slots, you know, that they have on the supermarket cart. Well, I was concerned that he was going to pull such a thing that he was going to fall down and hurt himself. So I walked up and I said, your mother said, sit down. Boy, the look on his face changed all of a sudden. And I said, your mother said, sit down. When I said it the third time, I said, your mother said, sit down. He sat down. And she said, thank you. I said, well, I just didn't want him getting hurt. This poor woman was worried, and you could see that she was concerned that, hey, he was standing up there, you know, the cart, when you're standing on it there, is a little over 4 feet high. See? And if you fall down on that hard cement and hit your head, you know, you can hit your head, you can split your head open, get a concussion, break your arm, break your leg, whatever. What happened with Stephen and he fell down, it was that he unhooked himself and it was on an incline and he stood up and bam, he went over. It wasn't that Dolores wasn't watching. She was tending to other children. But that's how quickly these things can happen. And you don't know. And then we have another lady who works for Walmart, you know, the great corporation that destroys all small businesses in the world whenever they move into town. And she says that the parents take an affront when you try and get their children to sit down. Now, what are we talking about here in all of this? We are talking about the operation of the carnal mind that does not want to obey God. That's what we're talking about in children and in adults. And that's the way that the world is. That's why God's word is here. To give us the guidance, even in the world, in the letter of the law, what we should do. And then when it says, keep my Sabbaths, boy, I tell you what, if you tell a Protestant you keep the Sabbath and the holy days, you keep the Passover of God, they say, well, you're trying to earn salvation. That's not true. No law keeping can earn you salvation. It is the gift of God. Now let's go on. Let's come over here to verse 26. Verse 26. You shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall you use enchantments or observe times. Now, any kind of enchantment, a secret wording, a chanting to a god, a chanting to a demon, or repetitious vain prayers like the heathen use, or observe times. What are those? Christmas time, Easter time, the summer solstice, the winter solstice, the spring equinox, the autumnal equinox, etc. And it's like code of Jewish law. They have a prayer for everything. They have a prayer for lettuce. They have a prayer for beans. They have a prayer for meat. They have a prayer for chicken. They have a prayer if you see a deformed person. They have a prayer if you see an elephant, or prayer if you see a giraffe. They have a prayer when you cross a creek. That is Judaism, see. And all of those fall under the category of enchantments. Now, verse 27 is very misunderstood by a lot of people. You shall not round the corners of your head, neither mar the corners of your beard. Now, what does that mean? Especially the beard. Does this mean, shall not round the corners of your heads? Does this mean not to cut your hair? Or does this mean put a round tonsure on it, which is in devotion to your religious monastic group? That's what that means. That's what the Egyptians did. Neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you shouldn't trim them? Does that mean you should just let it grow wild? What is this talking about? Well, if you look at some of the statues of the Egyptian pharaohs who were considered gods, they would round the corners of their beard into a phallic symbol. So what you are talking about is making a phallic symbol out of it, and then right on the bottom of it, to enhance the phallic idea of it, they would put a round metal clip, which would go around the whole thing. And it takes no imagination to figure out what that is. Verse 28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh. It says here, for the dead. And what do they have today? One of the most holy days of the Shiites is what? It has to do with one of the relatives of Muhammad when he was killed. They get little small chains, multiple small chains, and put them together with a handle, and then they whip it over their back. And great groups of them walk down the street and whip it, and they're bleeding. And it's supposed to be holy. See, God says you shall not do that. Also, you look at some of some people, they deliberately disfigure their bodies, especially tribes in Africa, and design them so they will have bumps and designs on the skin of their bodies. Next. Or print any marks upon you. Tattooing. Tattooing is against the law of God. Now notice how he backs this up. He says, I am the Lord. Now these things God expects us to do and to observe, not allow these things to be that he says do not do. Now notice verse 29. You shall not prostitute your daughter, and yet the whole society today is to prostitute daughters beginning at the earliest age possible. And if you don't believe me, look at how the teenage girls dress today. And the truth is, they look like whores because half of them are. And dress like it. And they are doing things that you mothers and fathers don't know when they get out of school and before you get home. And so are the boys. Now I'm going to give a whole sermon on how to destroy a nation by prostituting the women. And that's what's happened. And right now, statistics are that 50% of married women are cheating on their husbands and 50% of the husbands are cheating on their wives. Now notice what happens here. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore. That's what they teach in the schools, in the public schools. In the fourth grade in Germany, they show the full human coital act. And that destroys their minds and their hearts and their ability to have proper love and emotions. And sets their lives on fire in lust. Now notice what happens when that occurs. Another thing was brought up about online pornography. And 99% of them are women who do it. They set up a little website and they have the most gross pornography. And so they put in a law that you can't go there. And they made so you have to pay them. See, now if you pay for it, then the government can't control it. But now they're coming out with pornography cards, which are like phone cards. And so when the children, while you're not there at home, dial up on the internet, which is on while you're gone, they can take these pornography cards. Oh, they're not supposed to be sold to anyone under 16. Ho, 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 ho. Guess what? They take these cards, and just like a phone card, you can buy a little cardboard phone card. You turn it over on the backside, and it says, scrape off this little silver cover here. So you scrape it off, and there's a number there. Well, what they do when they buy it, it gives them so many minutes of watching pornography. and it is not traceable. So that's the way that the world is. Lest the land fall into whoredoms. That's mass pornography everywhere. And they dress in a pornography way. See, if anything affects the mind more than anything else, it is sex. And I've mentioned it before. Everyone remembers their first sexual encounter. That's why the laws of God say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, you see. Lest the land fall into whoredoms, and that's exactly what is happening. Now notice what comes next. And the land become full of wickedness. But isn't that the lament that we have in America today? Oh, but we have to have freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Well, what happens when freedom of speech and freedom of expression becomes Al-Qaeda incorporated, and now it is your liberty to cut off the heads of people because it is your freedom of expression? You want sin? God is going to let you heap it upon yourselves, and you'll reap the reward. If you want to keep the commandments of God and love Him, you can do that too. It's the choice that you have. God has laid it out for all people. It's a choice. Anyone who is wrapped up in any of these things can repent and change and get away from it if they so desire. That's why God has given free choice. Verse 30. Now notice this again. You shall keep my Sabbaths. Again, I want you to go through the whole law of Moses and see how many times it says, keep my Sabbaths, keep my holy days, keep Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and then we have sandwiched in between those Trumpets and Atonement. And reverence my sanctuary. Now that's when they had the sanctuary on earth. But the way we reverence the sanctuary in heaven above, because that's where our prayers go today, we confess our sins, we repent of our sins, we ask for God's mercy and kindness and blessing, instead of going to God and flaunting our sins before Him and tell Him we are delivered to do these things. Comment was made where it's interjected. Notice how many times it's interjected. Keep my Sabbaths. Why? Because if you keep the Sabbath, you're going to be coming out of the world one day a week, every week, as well as not wanting to follow the mores of the world by drowning yourself in television and pornography and all the sins of the world, you see. And to where you're going to have the Word of God, which does what? Which gives you guidance, which helps you, which sets you on the straight path, which renews your desire to do the will of God. That's why the Sabbath. And people who don't keep it, they wander off and they do nothing of God. And I've seen that too. As well, you know, look at Sunday keepers. Try as they may, have they made the world better? Have they really? No. Because you see, the truth is, only God can make something holy, not a man. We'll get into that when we get into the holy days a little more. Now notice what else he says, because this is what comes next. See? After the whoredoms, and if you don't keep the Sabbath, here's what comes next. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Neither seek after wizards, to be defiled by them, I am the Lord your God. Now, all of the demonism and witchcraft and palm reading and tarot cards and all of the like, and that ties in with gambling. Gambling is Satan's vacuum suction to suck money out of everybody. I saw a special on the casinos in Las Vegas. Did you know what they called them? They said, rarely does money ever leave here. It circulates and accumulates. And when it does leave, it goes by the armored cars to the bank. It is designed to take your money. It is designed to make you lose. And people are addicted to it. The states promote it. And for anyone who has ever won anything on a lottery or in gambling, know that you have been given someone else's money. Yes, they willingly gave it. But if the casino weren't there to take it, it wouldn't happen. See? And now they are trying to get casinos everywhere. Even here in little old Hollister. The county supervisors voted against it. So the Indian said, well, we're going to go to the city council. I mean, you think about where the assault of evil is coming. If it comes down to where the forces of evil are coming in with all of their money to put a casino in a small town like Hollister, that is unreal. I hope and pray that it doesn't happen, because I made the comment, if they put it in, that may force me to move. Please fast forward this and turn it to the other side. Thought from God. That is spiritism. Now, we have a booklet that we're going to have out here pretty quick, which is called Halloween and It's the Secrets of the Occult. And we go into all of that. We talk all about that. See, because what happens? When you leave God and you get into sin, then the demons under Satan's direction are there to welcome you into the depths of sin. And that's what familiar spirits and wizards are all about. Now, let's continue on. We're going to see this pattern all the way through. Verse 32, Leviticus 19. You shall rise up before the hoary head, that means the white head. You will honor the old people, not ridicule them, not make fun of them, put stumbling blocks in them, and honor the face of the old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, why does he say that? Because all you young people are going to get old one of these days. You don't think about it now. And as you're growing up, you look at old people, and you never say to yourself, I'm going to be like that. And when you've lived your life and you've gone through a lot of things, the last thing that God wants to happen to you is for smart aleck young punks to mock you, to ridicule you, to disrespect you. And so that's why God says that. Plus, it gives stability to the society. Because after all, the hoary head or the white head or the gray head or the gray and bald head, however you want to phrase it, have learned things in life and they have wisdom to pass on to you. So you better listen and hear and fear. Maybe if you do, you can save yourself a lot of anguish in your life by going out and just experimenting what you should do or should not do. It's just like when I at my first orientation after I was in the Army, the general of the division came down there for the basic training camp, and he said this, and I've always remembered it. He said, many people will say that experience is the best teacher. And he says, I'm going to tell you that is not correct. It is not the best teacher. It is a teacher, and you will learn. But, for example, what if you had your hand cut off? Now, you've had the experience of having your hand cut off, and you no longer have it because you didn't pay attention and listen to the instructions on how to handle the weapons.
he says, I'm going to tell you a better teacher, which will make you a wiser man. The wise man learns from the experience of others. And that's why God says that you will honor the old man. A comment was made, which is very good. The greatest experience you can learn today is not to take drugs. All you have to do is look at the drug addicts. Not only do they have to overcome the physical addiction, but whatever mental and emotional addiction that they have and ruining and destroying their lives. So learn from those who have taken them and do not take them. And you won't have to experience that. You see, experience is not the best teacher. Young people today want to go out and experience sex. Then when they come down with sexually transmitted diseases, it's too late to say, I should have listened. Okay? All of those things. See? God's way and God's laws are all practical. They are all good. And all of these laws that we are reading here are very important for us to understand this way. That these will help us in our physical lives as well as keep us from sinning grossly so that we can understand the truth of God in the New Testament when we come to it. But the problem is all the carnal minds are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Why? Because they've got the veil or the cast iron steel block down over their minds and they refuse to understand the laws of God. Now let me ask you one question here. In this series that we've been covering, is there any single law or commandment or statute or judgment that we have covered that is hard to understand? No. They're all simple to understand. People complain they're hard because they don't want to do it. That's an excuse. There's nothing hard about this. Now, let's go on. It talks about loving the stranger as yourself. Verses 33 and 34. Now, verse 35. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Now, in the United States, we have at least the weights and measures. In every state, they have a weight and measure commission. And next time you buy gas, you look right there, because every one of these gas meters have to be certified once a year that when it says you get a gallon of gas, you get a literal gallon of gas. And some of them fudge up a little bit on it by having the automatic turnoff. For example, you get $10 worth of gas, and then it slows way down when it's about $9.75, and then each penny clicks real slow. And I wonder how many people don't wait for the other 25 clicks to get your other 25 cents worth of gas, but you hang it up. Okay. That's probably not illegal, but in my opinion, they should do it like about 92 cents. That would be fair. But at 75%, I think they're trying to get a fudge factor. But that God wants it that way, see? In measure, in just balance, when you weigh the meat, don't put your thumb on the scale. Just weights. Now that's where you have the 1 ounce, the 2 ounce, the 6 ounce, the 1 pound. And you put it on a scale on one side, and then you put on fruit or vegetable or meat on the other side, and then it balances out. Just weights, a just ephah, which is a liquid measure, a just hen, which is again a liquid measure, shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord your God. Now then, when we come here, verses 1 through 5, it talks about Moloch, the god Moloch. The reason that God is so severe in it is because Moloch was the god where parents had to take their children and offer their firstborn in fire to Moloch. And the priests of Baal were the god Moloch, because Moloch is another form of Baal, would eat the flesh of the little baby after it was roasted. That's why the name cannibal comes from priest of Baal, canna balls. See? Baals from Canaan, who are human flesh devourers. Now, a little later, as we go down in time, we'll also cover about Solomon, and he worshipped the god of the Amorites and Moloch. God says you shall not do so. God gives a severe penalty for that. Comment is made, we're still offering the sacrifice to Moloch in the form of abortion. By the way, in the United States, they're up to 63 million. A comment was made the other day concerning the 63 million. Don't you suppose that if all of those people, all those little children had been born and would be grown up and would be adults today, don't you think that with the tax money coming in, we could balance the budget? And have no problem with paying into Social Security? Think about it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, no one thought about it. See? The wages of sin is death and misery and trouble all the way in between. Now, let's finish off here with Moloch, verse 5. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family. See, so what you do also affects your family. And will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. Now again, verse 6. Notice how often this comes up. And this is, the reason is because as you go down the pathway of sin, and Satan has the broad way, and it's the easy way, and there's pleasure in sin for a season. Who's there to greet you along the way, in addition to just sinners? Demons. That's why, again, he gives notice where this is interjected every time. Okay? Chapter 19, verse 31, right after talking about not giving your daughters over to whoredoms, right? Because then that leads into Satanism, which then leads into lesbianism, which then leads into all kinds of things. Okay? Now, right after talking about Moloch, the false god, then he says, verse 6, Leviticus 20, and the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul to cut him off from among his people. There's a penalty to be paid. Now, as you're going to read in the coming booklet, Halloween and its occult connection and the secrets of the occult, Halloween and the secrets of the occult, that the whole basis, the spiritual basis behind the United Nations is worshiping of other gods, which then is Satan and the demons. That's, now, if you don't believe me, just read anything about the meditation room in the UN. It's available. They have signs and symbols of every religion there, don't they? Now, verse 7, notice again. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be perfect, for I am the Lord your God. Now, and be holy, not perfect. Be holy. That is, be holy by not sinning, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord that sanctifies you. And it talks about cursing father and mother, verse 9, adultery, verse 10. Now, let's read verse 10, and let's solve a problem in John, the 8th chapter. Because a lot of people like to go to John, the 8th chapter, and say, because the Pharisees got this woman, brought her to Jesus, and said, Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses says she should be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus stooped and began writing in the dirt. And everyone was wondering what he was writing. I think we can solve the problem. Let's read it here. Verse 10. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, and the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, do you suppose that Jesus was writing, where is the man? See, because not just one. To commit adultery takes two. And the question always comes up, how did they catch her? Who entrapped her? And Jesus, knowing all things, could it be that he knew the name of the man who did it? I mean, you think about the power that Jesus had just as a human being. Remember when Peter and Andrew came and they went to get Nathan? And when they brought Nathan and said, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And he says, How did you know, Master? He says, Well, I saw you under the tree. Do you suppose that Jesus was writing in the sand, Where is the man whose name is? Why did they all leave? Beginning with the oldest. And he said to them, The one who's without sin, cast the first stone. And he knelt back down and started writing in the sand again. See? Because that was a perversion and a direct violation of this law. So that's why when they all left and she was standing there alone with Jesus, and of course there was a crowd of people around watching this, he stood up and he asked the woman, he said, Where are your accusers? And she said, None, Lord. And he says, Neither do I. But what did he say? Go and sin no more. See? So that was a matter of judgment, not a matter of forgiveness. He didn't say, I forgive you. He said, Go and sin no more. So they were perverting the law of Moses. All right? Then it talks about all the penalties of the sex sins that you find in Leviticus 18. They're all found here in Leviticus 20. Then the rest of the chapter goes what to do when they get into the land, make a difference between the clean and unclean beast and fowl and so forth. Now let's come to verse 26. Verse 26. Here's the summary again. Now, the reason I want to go through this is to show you how God repeats these things. And by the way, how many people have read, even though they have it in their Bible, the book of Leviticus? Oh, well, that's for the priest. We don't need to read that because the priesthood isn't here today. Well, not all of it's for the priest. Okay. Verse 26. How many times have we repeated this? You shall be holy unto me, for For I, the Lord your God, am holy and have severed you from other people, separated you out. Now, what is the calling of Jesus Christ and God the Father? Is that not a calling out? Is that not a spiritual severing from the rest of the world? Yes, indeed. What did Jesus say of the apostles in his final prayer there in John 17? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And you have given them to me, Father. Keep them in your holy name. Now notice. I have severed you from other people that you should be mine. Instead of Satan's. Because as we will find out, holy days or holidays, holy days versus holidays, by whose authority? You're either under the authority of God the Father and Jesus Christ or Satan the devil and his demons. One or the other. That's just the way it is. That you should be mine. What did Jesus say? You've given them to me, Father. They are yours, and all yours are mine, and all mine are yours. A Christian has been called and separated by the power of God through the receipt of the Holy Spirit to walk in righteousness, to keep his commandments, to love God, and to do the things that please him. So there's a lot of spiritual lessons we can learn here. And by the way, I might mention, if you want to know the spiritual significance of the physical offerings in the first part of the book of Leviticus, as it lays them out, get the book, The Law of Offerings by Andrew Jukes. You can get that at Christian book distributors or any Bible bookstore, and if they don't have it, you can order it. Now again, now notice, verse 27, and how many times have we seen it? We've seen it at least, this is the fourth time within two chapters. A man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. You shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Familiar spirits can get into channeling and remote viewing, and even the military is into that. So, you know. But anyway, in the New Testament, God has not given, as we have covered, what is the administration of death. God has not given the administration of death to the church. The greatest authority that the church has over the conduct of someone's life for sin is disfellowshipment. And upon real repentance, true, deep, godly repentance, they can be restored. But if not, they are turned over to Satan the devil for the destruction of the flesh, in hopes that they may repent through the things and the troubles that they will go through. But it tells you what God thinks about it here. You put them to death. Then the first part of chapter 21 is about not touching unclean things and so forth and so on like that, and don't profane the name of the Lord your God. Chapter 21 has a lot of it in there. Then it has some laws concerning the priesthood and the physical perfection that God demanded of them. Chapter 22 has also to do with the offerings and dedicating of things to the temple, so we'll bypass that. Comes up, let's come to chapter 22 and verse 31, because he sums up all of it up to this point. Now notice again. Now, Let's understand something very important here. If God says something once, that's sufficient, isn't it? But if God repeats it over and over and over and over again, he has a reason for doing so, doesn't he? And the things that are repeated the most, if you analyze it, are the sins or the commandments that people break, which is sin, the most often. So notice how he summarizes it here, verse 31. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallows you. That's very important. God made the Sabbath holy by resting on it as an example, and that is the only day he puts his presence in. He does not put his presence in to the self-righteous Sunday keeping of Protestants or Catholics. Now, if you don't believe me, you can draw down on the website Rome's challenge to the Protestants, where they boldly proclaim that they alone have established Sunday as a day of worship, and the Protestants follow it to this day. And if you need to, you can go on cbcg.org site, and you can draw down the sermon, Are You Still Shackled to Rome? So you see, Satan wants to confuse everything concerning the Sabbath. He wants to make it a burden out of it with Judaism. He wants those who claim Christ to keep Sunday so they won't keep the Sabbath. And then the Muslims come along, and they don't keep either Saturday or Sunday, they keep Friday. See, no one wants to do what God wants. See, the Jews have the right day, but they reject Jesus. So it's like having an electrical appliance with no plug. It's worthless. The Old Testament, without the veil lifted, and without Jesus Christ, will never bring you eternal life or make you righteous. So God will give you eternal life. These are laws and commandments that God has given to keep so that we are able then to walk in God's ways. And we are to keep it in the Spirit, as we will see. That's what it says in the New Testament. It doesn't say do away with it. In the Spirit. And we'll see how that has worked. Verse 33 now. That brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, I am the Lord. Now, Egypt is a type of sin throughout the whole Bible. And if you have been brought out of sin by the calling of God through Jesus Christ, you have come out of spiritual Egypt. Then chapter 23 has to do with the holy days. We will cover that, holidays versus holy days by whose authority. Then you have chapter 24, in Leviticus. You have concerning things at the temple. Chapter 25 has to do with the land Sabbath. And then some other things here having to do with ownership of land in verse 25. Then we have chapter 26. Let's read a little bit here, and let's do this. Put in your margin, or even mark in your Bible, Leviticus 26 is the parallel of Deuteronomy 28. Leviticus 26 is the parallel of Deuteronomy 28. Leviticus 26 was given within the first year and a half after they left Egypt. Deuteronomy 28 was given the last month before they went into the promised land 39 years later. So let's begin right here, Leviticus 26 and verse 1. Again, we find a repeat, don't we? Every time you find a repeat, that tells you how important that it is. Notice, you shall make for yourself no image or graven image, neither rear up a standing image, that's a totem pole or an obelisk, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Now you stop and think about all of the idols and things around the world. I remember when the invasion of Afghanistan first took place, the Taliban, they went out in one of their last things that they did. There was a huge carved in a mountain statue of Buddha, and they blew it up. And everyone thought, oh, how sacrilege. You destroyed the image. See? Well, maybe that was one of the few things that the Taliban did that was right. Much of the rest of what they did was not right. See? And in Washington, D.C., they have an awful lot of idols. And you look at the woman who's on top of the Capitol building where Congress meets, and then you have the Washington Monument, which is what? An obelisk from Egypt. And the way that Washington, D.C. is laid out. Yeah, there are a lot of things that people don't know. Let's go on. Verse 2 again. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now, we've read that at least three times within two chapters, right? Now, does God mean what he says? I want to ask you a question. Do you keep God's Sabbaths? What do you keep? Now, you listen to the tapes that we're doing on holidays versus holy days, by whose authority, because you see, Those sermons run parallel with this one and with the ones we're doing on the law of Moses without the veil. Now notice the blessings that come. This is very similar to what we find in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 3, if, it's always conditional. Remember, there is no condition given to God by man. God is the one who gives condition to human beings because he made them. And he gave them choice. So that's why the word if. Okay. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments to do them, then. So you see, here's some blessings that are coming. I will give you rain in due season. What's happening around the world? Upset weather. You go back and listen to the tape that I did that sin affects the environment. And the land shall yield her increase in the trees of the field and so forth. He gives all the blessings here. Going all the way down through. And he says, if you do that, let's come over here to verse 12, verse 11 rather, and I will set my tabernacle among you. Now, what was it said of Jesus when he came to the earth and became flesh? And he tabernacled among us. Now, we'll talk about Christ a little later because, see, all of this comes together. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. It's the only way to get the blessings of God, isn't it? hasn't he? What did Jesus say that he did when the Jews wanted to know who he was and so forth? He said, I always do the things that please my Father. Now that's what we're supposed to do, see? So he shall be our God. We'll be his people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Now, spiritually speaking, when God calls us, he rescues us from Satan the devil, and he has broken the bondage to this world and Satan the devil. Now, just like there's if and then, if we keep doing God's ways, if we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, and if we spiritually let God write his commandments in our hearts and in our minds so that we live by them, we understand the spiritual principle of them, and we walk in them, then God has broken the bands of the yoke of Satan the devil and made us to walk upright, yea, has made us to have access to God the Father in heaven above. Then he gives a warning. Verse 14, but if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, but if you shall despise my statutes, now try that on any Protestant, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that you will not do all my commandments, that you break my covenant. So there comes a point, you see, that you break the covenant of God. Now, the first thing that everyone needs to understand is this. There's only, and we'll talk about this a little later when we come to the Passover time. There is only one way to be in covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's God's way. Now, the Protestants and Catholics, though they claim certain claims, cannot be in covenant with God. Why? This is not being anti-Catholic or anti-Protestant. This is just bringing out a fact that if those who are sincerely dedicated to what they believe, they can repent and change. But you can't go to God and do the things of men and expect to be accepted of God. They are not in covenant with God. As I said before, you're either under God's authority or you're under Satan's authority. And as we've seen, that's depicted by the tree of life, the way to salvation, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is letting Satan rule over you, and you have a society filled with good and evil. No. You can read the rest of Leviticus 26. We've covered that in other sermons. Now, Leviticus 27, it talks about the temple shekel, which we have the principle here. Even the poorest and lowest among you should give a minimum of something to God. And the other principle we have here is this, that what God has made holy is holy because God alone can make something holy. So if he says, the firstborn is holy unto me, the first fruit is holy unto me, and there are a lot of spiritual principles that we can cover on that as we get down toward the holy days, which go in there. God says the tithe is holy unto him because he made it holy. See? Now, since we're at the end of Leviticus, we'll go ahead and end it here, and we'll pick up next time and look in the book of Numbers, and then we'll conclude by going to Deuteronomy, and then we will go in the New Testament, and I think the place to begin there is the Sermon on the Mount, which then gives us how then, instead of just keeping them in the letter of the law for the physical blessings, God expects us to obey in the spirit, with the heart,
with the mind, with our whole lives.
The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5B2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, 2981. Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, UYO, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Mbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.